This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أما بعد فأوصيكم وإياي بتقوى الله عز وجل فإنه الزاد في الدنيا والأخرى وفي السر والعلانية. My dear brothers and my dear sisters, I want you to imagine the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as he's in Mecca. The Prophet is being told by Allah عز وجل that now you have to stand. You have to stand up for what you believe in. Qum, stand, O Muhammad. Stand. وَأَنذِرْ. And start to warn the people. Everybody in society doesn't believe in what the Prophet ﷺ believes in. No one in society, except a very few people, mostly weakened, actually agree with the Prophet ﷺ. Everyone is opposing him. Some people are making death threats against the followers of Muhammad. Other people are trying to assassinate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything is in his face. It's all difficulties after difficulties after difficulties. ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. Darkness is some above another. It's a very difficult time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going through. In this time, a group of the people of Quraysh, like Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, like Al-As and others, they come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they say, O Muhammad, halumma falta'bud ma na'bud wa na'budu ma ta'bud. Come and let us worship what you worship, and you worship what we worship. So they're asking him for a small concession. They said that let's worship what you worship and let us worship what you worship as you worship what we worship. 1 year, you become us and the next year, we will become you. That's all they're asking for. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had many years to go. And if anybody had the ability to make a concession, it would have been the Prophet ﷺ, because he knew that there's still some more times till the mission of the Prophet ﷺ comes to a conclusion. It was within this scenario that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed one of the two surahs that is known as Surah Al-Ikhlas. Because there's two surahs known as Surah Al-Ikhlas. The famous Surah Al-Ikhlas and also Surah Al-Kafirun, both of these surahs are known as Surah Al-Ikhlas. The two surahs that are basically meant to express your sincerity to Allah Azza wa Jal. And these two surahs, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a practice of reciting these surahs, especially in his different sunan. So it's reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite these surahs in the sunnah of Fajr. It's also reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite these surahs in the sunnah of Maghrib. And it was also reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite these two surahs in the sunnah of al-Tawaf as well. These are those two surahs which express your allegiance to Allah, your belief in Allah, your monotheism to Allah azza wa jal, that there's nothing else that you're willing to bow yourself down to spiritually, ideologically, physically, except for Allah azza wa jal. These are those two surahs. And one of them is revealed in this moment. In this moment that the kuffar of Quraysh are asking the Prophet to make a very relatively simple concession. The concession is that you worship what we worship for 1 year and then we will worship what you worship for another year. So we'll come somewhere in the middle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, قُلْ in the wake of all of this, despite the difficulty, despite the trials, despite the fact that everyone is against the Prophet ﷺ, he says, say and declare. Make that declaration very clear. The beginning of that declaration is, Ya ayyuhal kafirun. O you who disbelieve, O kuffar, quite literally. I want you to imagine this, because now some people are very hesitant to even use the word kafir. They will say, kafir, you're going to offend someone. Why, akhi? If someone had to be considerate of offending someone, it would be this situation in the most trying moments of the Prophet's life. But the Prophet is told in that moment to make the declaration and begin by saying, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Say, O you who are kuffar. Because the word kafir simply means disbeliever. It is us who have added a lot of different stigma to this word. And because of that stigma, we're afraid the media is against us and this is against us, and they're talking about, oh, these people, they say infidels. Ya akhwan, oh my brothers, we have to explain to the people. We cannot be back-footed by people. We have to tell the people we are people of da'wah. We are people of calling. We can't have people putting us on the back foot all the time. It doesn't work like that. The word kafir doesn't equate to bloodshed, war, massacre, pillaging. This is just media. This is not what the word kafir means. It means someone who disbelieves in what you believe in. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ is told to say to these people, despite the difficult, trying time that he's going through. Say, ayyuhal kafirun, O you who are kuffar, who disbelieve in what I believe in. If people misunderstand a word and they place all sorts of stigma around it, we can't stop using that word. Let me give you an example. When the British had went to Egypt in the 1900s, and they were there, and they attempted to conquer this place. They attempted to colonize this place. Slowly but surely, some of the Arabic words, they started coming into the British language. One of those words is a word that all of you and I and everyone uses. And it's still there, used in Britain till today in a derogatory way. And the word is bint. For those who know English, they know English. The word is bint. It's still used in Britain till today, in certain parts of Britain, that is. And the word basically means, it's a derogatory term for a woman, right? It's a scornful word where, you know, you can imagine what it would mean in our language. I don't want to use those words on a pulpit, but basically it's a derogatory term for a woman that's very loose. So the word bint, daughter, the word we use all the time, the word that is attached to the names of all of our daughters, fulana bint fulan, this word became a derogatory term. Did we say, because in England, the word is a derogatory term, I'll stop using it? If someone misunderstands a word, you explain to them what that word means. Because this is exactly what Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ as well. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Say, O people who happen to be kuffar, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. I'm not going to be worshipping what you people are worshipping. We're different. And you know, when you're honest about your beliefs to people, people take you more seriously. But when you're wishy-washy and they look at you and they think, oh, this guy doesn't really stand for what he believes in, they start to say, oh, now they've got you on a back foot. They will try to pressure you. They will try to teach you. They will try to preach you to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet ﷺ, when they're asking for concessions, you say it loud and clear. You don't have to be obnoxious, but you have to be clear. Being clear-worded doesn't mean you're an obnoxious human being. It just means you are a direct human being. It means you're a human being who believes and stands for what he really believes in. لا أعبد ما تعبدون. I don't believe what you all are believing. ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد. And neither all of you worship what I worship as well. I mean, if you have the freedom to do whatever you want, why don't I have the freedom to do whatever I want? Right? Because this is what we're talking about nowadays, right? Everybody wants their freedoms. They want to have their religious freedom. They want to have their sexual freedom. They want to have all sorts of freedoms. So then we also require that freedom. We want that freedom as well. We want to be able to believe in whatever we believe in, stand for whatever we stand for. We want to be people who are able or given all the liberties that everybody else is given as well. And that's what Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ. He's saying, say to them directly, I don't believe what you believe in. I don't practice what you practice. And you don't do the same thing. So why are you trying to compel me? Why are you trying to pressure me? And I say this today because people are so pressured that they're losing their faith from these pressures. Why, my brother? Why, my sister? Why do you feel pressured? Have izzah, might in your faith, glory in your faith, pride in your faith. Be proud of who you are. Nobody should be able to take that away from you. You have to have izzah and pride in what you are, your heritage, your lineage, your religion. Have pride. All of the notions that you have in your mind are simply in your mind. In reality, if you look at reality, you have the opportunity to be as proud as anybody else about what you believe in and the way you practice your life and the morals that you choose to live by as well. لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد. And nor do you worship what I worship. Now we want to talk to a group of people today, and they're growing in number. Sometimes people tell me you're too technical, but wallahi, the reason why I talk about topics that are a little bit technical because I'm preempting these fitan coming into the community, to the Muslims. There's a group of people now, they want to spread something called the Ibrahimiyya. They want to spread a unified religion within this world that is known as the Abrahamic faith. You probably heard that term, but now they're taking it to level two. They want to make a faith that unifies all of the faiths in this world. A faith that is based on the religion of Islam, it's based on Christianity, it's based on Judaism, and everybody's supposed to just jump and hold hands and sing kumbaya. But Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ, tell the kuffar, لا أعبد ما تعبدون. I'm not going to be worshipping what you worship. Allah told us even about Ibrahim ﷺ. He told us that, ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما. That Ibrahim alayhi salam was not Jewish and he wasn't Christian, but rather he was monotheistic and he was a Muslim. It is part of the articles of your faith to believe that Ibrahim alayhi salam was a Muslim. So when we talk about the Abrahamic faith, as in we are just an extension of one of the previous faiths, we say no, we are the correct faith of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We are the correct faith of Musa alayhi salam. We are the correct faith of Isa alayhi salam. This is what our book teaches us. Ibrahim alayhi salam, neither was he Jewish, nor was he Christian. And Allah repeats this concept again, this specific concept again and again in the Quran. So we believe in Islam. We believe in the Quran. We believe in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we believe that we have to worship Allah and Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal alone. This is a premise that we can never let go of. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us steadfastness on this faith. Ameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi hamdan yuwafi ni'amahu wa yukafi'u mazidah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, he doesn't stop in the declaration that he gives to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at just one comment, but rather Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say it all over again. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to reiterate, emphasize. If someone doesn't understand what you believe in, you don't start telling them other things. You repeat the same thing because your belief is very clear. So Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to repeat, and he says, "Wala, say, O Muhammad." وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ. And neither in the future, nor in the past, nor in the present, will I or was I or will or am I going to worship anything but Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm not going to worship anything but Allah. My God is Allah. That's it. I'm not going to submit to your pressures. I'm not going to submit to your ideological harassment of me. I'm not going to change anything that I believe in. My premises are very clear. My God is Allah. The God of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the God of Isa alayhi salam, the God of Musa alayhi salam, the God of all of the messengers, all of the prophets of God, all the apostles of God. God, this is the same God that they all worship, and this is who we worship as well. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. And tell him again, look at you, you're not doing the things that I do. Because now we see people, والله المستعان, involving themselves in the name of unity. within practices that are pagan practices. There's a day of judgment, my brothers. We have to stand before Allah and answer to Him. You have this life to live as a test. Don't feel pressured by people. If you have to stay silent, that is better for you. You don't have to talk and involve yourself in everything. There's a lot of things that people can get involved in, but you make the choice where you get involved and where you do not get involved. Move back. Sit back a little bit. You don't have to be in every single circle so that, you know, people take pictures of you all over the world and you... No. Sit back. Focus on your deen. Remember your akhirah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he told his people that he's not going to worship anyone but Allah Azza wa Jal. There were consequences. They wanted to throw him in the fire. He said, I'm not going to make any concessions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told his people that I'm going to worship Allah. There were consequences. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was exiled. He accepted the exile. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, they attempted to assassinate him. He accepted it. Isa alayhi salam, they tried their best to try to crucify him as well. He accepted. You have to make sacrifices when you are calling to Allah. When you're walking in the path of Allah, there will be sacrifices you need to make. People are going to mock you. They will say evil things about you. You still have to continue to embrace and hold fast to your faith, your belief. Because this is what's going to lead you to Jannah. And then tell them, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينٌ. You guys have your religion. And I have my religion. Is this a very difficult thing to do? Answer. Is it complicated to tell the people that I have my religion? It is different than yours. What is the problem with saying that to people? Why are you afraid? There are so many people who are so afraid of their identity. Why? Wallahi, I walk around like this in every situation. I have never had any trouble. And when I do, I don't really mind. I don't really care. I'm still going to continue to identify as whoever I am. I'm not saying Islam is these clothes, by the way. This is not my intention at all. I sometimes wear pants and shirts and I wear everything as well. This is not my intention. My point is, obviously, if I'm dressed like this, I'm identifiably Muslim, right? So that's something that I do in all situations. I have been doing it for the better part of my life. And frankly, you know, I enjoy this attire. I don't plan on changing as well, right? Maybe I'll have a different decision later on in my life, but this is how I am and this is how I will be, because I don't mind being identified by people as a Muslim, as a practicing person who believes in the faith of Islam. Someone asks me, what do you believe in? I tell them, I believe in Islam. You want to know about Islam? I'll tell you about Islam. Why hide your identity? Especially the brothers. Our sisters, subhanAllah, they wear their hijab, they wear their Islam on their heads. It's so evident. But the brothers who have been given who are supposed to have the izzah, the pride, the last thing they want to be known as is Muslims, because they feel like they're going to be put in vulnerable situations. It is true. You will be put into vulnerable situations. It is true. Statistically speaking, you'll probably have less opportunity at work. In better jobs. Statistically speaking, you'll probably have more prejudices that will be leveled against you in the way you interact with people. This is all statistical. So there's no doubt about the fact that you're going to have some hardship that you're going to bear because of the fact that you look identifiably Muslim. There's no doubt about that. But there's still people flourishing. They're working hard. They're working around the system. They're making sure they get what they need to. Right? And by the way, this is one of the reasons why I say to you, brothers, support your Muslim businesses. Because the person who goes through all of the loopholes in the system and they are able to establish themselves and they are identifiably Muslim people, you have to support them. I personally drive extra to go to Muslim businesses whenever I'm trying to get a service. I do. You all know how far I live. I literally drive further to go to a Muslim business so that my money is given to a Muslim, because I know how hard it is for this individual to start a business. There are many stories like this. One day I was sitting inside of a coffee shop and someone came up to me, and again, I'm identifiably Muslim. He started talking to me and he said that, you know, I know that there's a lot of biases and prejudices, and he started having this conversation with me, and he told me that in our city, the city where I live, Spruce Grove, In our city, we used to have a Starbucks that opened up, and that Starbucks, a group of Pakistani Muslims, they opened it up. And when they opened it up, it was one of the most established businesses in town. They bought it from somebody else. And as soon as they bought it, they were identifiably different. Was it because they're Pakistani, or is it brown, or is it because they're Muslims? Whatever it is, they're identifiably different. So he said they were doing a great job, but people stopped coming to their business. And he said it was such an unfortunate story in our city that they had to close down their business because they look different. So I know the struggle. I was raised up here. I know that the different way you look, that affects your opportunities in life. We all know that. One brother over here in this very masjid, he told me because he was black skinned, he could not establish a business. So he hired a white guy to be the face of the organization. He said, the next week, I made $30,000. And he kept on going. And alhamdulillah, he's made money. And this happens. So I know by looking different, by appearing different, you lose opportunities within this world. But that doesn't mean you're going to leave your principles, my brother. Because this life is very temporary. Stick to your principles. Stick to your faith. Tell people clearly what you believe in. You don't have anything to be ashamed of. Islam has nothing within it that you have to be shy of. Be proud of the faith that Allah has granted you. This is Allah's gift upon you. I ask Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal to allow us to be proud of our faith. Ameen. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.